blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, this is not Abraham Hamilton III, but this is E.W. Jackson, and I am certainly glad to be standing in for him tonight. And great to be with you. Thank you, as always, for all of your support, all of your prayers, all of your contributions, everything that you all do to help make this network run. And thank God it's running because it is desperately needed, folks. Well, look, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, but I want to begin, of course, with what's happened and is happening right now, even as we speak in Central Texas. Death count now, I believe, is up to 119. There's about 170. I've heard numbers 170 to 176 people missing still. So we've got a long road ahead of us to clear up all of the people who are missing right now, to figure out whether miraculously they may have survived or they're out there somewhere. Are their bodies to be found? So we need to continue to pray for those folks and support them and help them in whatever ways we can. And that includes contributing to them. I know 8 Days of Hope has often responded, and we have a relationship here at AFR, has often responded to these issues. So feel free to contact them, 8 Days of Hope, to see what they're doing. They're a Christian organization that is dedicated to responding to these natural disasters and weather tragedies. And so thank God for them and for the other organizations that are out there doing yeoman service to support folks. I mean, you got special ops people who are out there doing either search and rescue or recovery. You've got police officers and firefighters and just volunteers who've come from everywhere. I just encourage everybody, if you want to volunteer to help, please contact an organization that you can work through, because they've said if you go out there on your own as a lone wolf, so to speak, you can often interfere with the process rather than assist it. So I just encourage you to connect with a good organization that is doing good work and work under their aegis. So we have to just continue to pray for those folks. There is an issue that it just won't die because people won't let it. You ever watch one of those horror movies? I don't watch these things now, but as a kid and growing up, and but certainly before I was saved, I did. But you know these horror movies where the monster just won't die. You know, you shoot the monster, you stab the monster falls down. But the monster just won't die. The monster keeps getting up. And this particular issue is like that. Although it's, and sometimes that stuff is just downright, it's so ridiculous that it's funny. But this is really not funny. And the issue I'm talking about is the issue of race. Because speaking of what's happened in Central Texas, I'm sure you all have heard that, in fact, somebody from Houston, this woman, Sade Perkins from Houston, who was appointed by the Houston mayor to a position in the city, and is apparently somebody who has been used by the mayor. I understand he's going to get rid of her now and make sure that she doesn't serve any longer, but had the unmitigated gall to say, the only reason why this story is such big news is that these are all white girls. It is a white girls' camp. A white girls' Christian camp, I think she even threw in just for good measure, that if these were brown girls, nobody would care. And, you know, folks, where does one begin to unravel and unpack the utter depravity of people who think this way? You're not moved by the compassion that every human being ought to have for the fact that innocent children have been swept away by this violent flood that ravaged that entire area, and as we're now seeing, has taken over, well over 100 lives, and it may get to be close to or more than 200. If all these missing people right now, 170 missing people, turn out to be dead, we're talking about a death toll of close to 300, 250, 260, 270 people. How does one become so twisted that rather than mourning and relating to the hurt, the pain, the anguish of parents? I mean, one couple lost two twins in this thing. Rather than mourning with people and having compassion for the terrible hurt and pain. I mean, I've said, I can't even imagine it. I really can't. It's difficult to imagine what that must be like. But if you are a normal human being, it breaks your heart. And here you've got this total idiot who wants to racialize this issue as if the color of the skin of these beautiful girls matters. It doesn't matter. It is irrelevant. What we care about is these children and their families and their counselors and all the human beings that were engaged in a wonderful, lawful, joyful, playful, recreational time. And suddenly it turns to horrific tragedy. And you've got people like this woman who want to really, in a sense, turn this very solemn moment into a moment of utter blasphemy. And it is thoroughly disgusting. You know, the Bible has a phrase, the Old Covenant uses it, called the mystery of iniquity. I forget exactly where that's found, but you know, it is how people can be so heartless and so cold and so wicked and twisted. Well, Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above everything. Who can know it? How that happens is a mystery. It's difficult to fathom. It really is. Because I just believe that natural human instinct is, particularly when it comes to children, to want to protect them, to want to shelter them, to want to help them, to want to heal them. And here's a person who's so obsessed with the issue of race. And she's not the only one. She's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, look, folks, I have redubbed the Democrat Party the Demoncrat Party. Now, for all you listeners out there, there probably aren't many of you, but I know when I was doing my daily program, I would get calls from some of you who claim to be Christians and are Democrats. It really is time to either quit the masquerade or to just come out of that abomination. Because this is the way they think. They are obsessed with race and they can't see anything else. Look, the attacks on the ICE agents who are trying to fulfill their lawful duty of apprehending and arresting and deporting illegal aliens, they've been turned into a Gestapo now. They're a Gestapo. They're a bunch of racists. They're out to hunt down brown people. You had the mayor of Chicago say, declare, we will not cooperate with ICE. And you just, your brain goes on tilt because there's no logical, rational way to understand this kind of thinking and behavior. You got to see it as deeply spiritually demonic. That's the only way you can understand it, because it just doesn't make any other sense. It doesn't make sense any other way. And by the way, in Chicago, where you've got the murder capital of America, and you've got children being gunned down in the streets. I'm sure you saw the video of the shootout in Philadelphia, which looked like a movie scene staged for people's entertainment, except there were real bullets and real people firing at each other across the street, bullets flying everywhere into houses, into cars. This stuff goes on, and part of the justification for it is that America is so systemically racist that it doesn't really, the police don't have anything to say, and we need to defund the police and dismantle the police and reimagine the police and all of this. And in the meantime, innocent people, law-abiding people, are killed in the crossfire. And part of the justification when you try to lock folks up who are doing this stuff is, well, you know, the police are out to hunt down black men. So then why isn't it appropriate for them to say, you know, we will not cooperate with police? Because after all, they're just a bunch of racists out to hunt down black men. Well, if ICE is just a bunch of Nazis and Gestapo trying to hunt down brown people, we're not going to cooperate. That's the mayor of the city talking that way. And you wonder why Chicago is lawless and murderous and violent and unstable and unsafe. You know, you reap what you sow, both here and hereafter. And these folks, I dubbed it, if you all remember, when I had my program, I called it ROS, Racial Obsession Syndrome. I said we ought to dub it as a new psychological and mental illness. I know we got Trump derangement syndrome, but these folks have racial obsession syndrome, and they had it before Trump came along. And of course, what Trump is doing, Trump's a racist, and everything he's doing is racist. Stacey Abrams pipes up finally. I thought maybe that she, you know, kind of gone away somewhere, but she pipes up and says, Trump is planning to not have any more elections. I mean, these people are delusional. Well, look, I mentioned this on Jenna's program, so I'll mention it here. Starting on July 4th, my organization began something we call Project 76, Standathon. From July 4th to September 17th, July 4th being Independence Day, September 17th being Constitution Day, is exactly 76 days. Isn't that interesting? Exactly 76 days. So the Constitution is passed on the 17th of September, exactly 76 days from the date the Declaration of Independence was signed. And we're doing something called the Project 76 Standathon, where we're asking for prayer, for purpose, and prosperity for our country and for our organization, which is dedicated to a number of different principles, but here's the chief one: to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values and principles as one nation under God. Folks, Jesus never lied and never lies. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself will come to desolation. Now, that's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus is always right. And if Jesus is always right and Jesus never lies, that means unless we deal with this cancerous, insidious, wicked, twisted effort to exploit race at every turn and turn everything into a racial issue in order to condemn what they call white people, our country's coming to desolation. Jesus is never wrong. I'll tell you in a minute what we're doing about it and how you can help us with it as we continue the program. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Back in a moment. We'll be right back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
It's like all of creation was screaming, God is good. His goodness just flows from everything he created. But when the devil came to the garden, tempted Adam and Eve, his approach was, is God really good? And sadly, they kind of went along with his deception. They fell into sin. But the reality is, God's creation is good and God is totally good. And so he can be totally trusted. So our worship and praise is acknowledging that he's good, even when we don't fully recognize or see what he's doing. On the other hand, complaining is, God, you're messing up. I'm not sure if you really are good in this situation. So I think clearly it's important to know complaining is never a good thing. It really is a way to curse something. Praise and worship, even though we may not fully understand what all is going on, it's so productive.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
This is E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III today. Thank you all for joining me. I'll be taking some calls in a few minutes. But before we get to that, there's some breaking news that apparently there's some devastating floods happening in New Mexico. Last year, they were devastated by wildfires. This year, they're having floods. Three people are already dead. And so we need to be praying for those folks, too. I don't know how bad that's going to get. I can't imagine it will get as bad as what's happened in Central Texas. But I will say this. Jesus made clear that the earth is groaning in travail. And he said it would be like a woman in contractions that get bigger and bigger and bigger. And folks, I really do believe that we're going to see, it's not climate change that's the problem. We are going to see nature laboring under the weight of sin and ultimately becoming more and more and more violently devastating. Jesus said earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars. He said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. He didn't say that was the extent of it. He said these are the beginning of sorrows. So we just need to be aware of the spiritual implications of what we see going on while the left is running around with their hair on fire. Like, climate change, climate change. All you got to do is stop driving SUVs and everything will be fine. No. I've got news for them. Everything is not going to be fine no matter what, because the problem of sin must be dealt with. And there's only one person who deals with it ultimately and finally, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Donald Trump is doing a great job, in my view, as president. Look, he's not perfect, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. And I can't say that every single word that comes out of his mouth I agree with. But I'll tell you what, I am happy that he is president of the United States. And I am glad for the general direction in which he is trying to lead this country. And I think he's helping us a great deal. But he is not the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer is the Lord. And what America needs is to be a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, this racial stuff I was just discussing, all of that comes out of the mindset of sin. Because God doesn't look at us based on the color of our skin. The same thing that this insanely wicked person used to disparage our heartfelt concern about all these girls and all the people devastated by these floods in Central Texas, Hunt and the surrounding area. They're doing the same thing with ICE agents. A representative, you wonder how in the world do these people get elected? Representative Gomez said that ICE is going after the people who are brown, who look like me. I hate that phrase, who look like me. Well, first of all, I'm looking at the guy. I'm serious, folks. Please don't hold this against me. But I'm looking at the guy and I'm thinking to myself, you ain't brown. What is he talking about? Who look like me, who are brown. Look, folks, I am brown. He's not brown. He does, but this is the insanity of these people. Because, you know, like I say, the phrase, people of color. Well, I've never met anybody who didn't have color. Have you? I mean, people have different color complexions, but I've never met anybody who didn't have color. Well, what they really mean is not people who are darker skinned. I know you're thinking that's what that's not what they mean. No, that's not what they mean. Because I've seen people who identify as black who are lighter in complexion than people who identify or people would identify as white. So that's not what they're getting at. What they're getting at is that identification. How do you identify? Do you identify as someone of non-European ancestry? But Jesus said, I just had the scripture up. Let me grab it back. Matthew 12:25, that last clause, Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, he didn't say some kingdoms might not stand. And he didn't say every city or house divided against itself might not stand. He's definitive about it. In other words, it is a formula. It is an absolute formula for societal suicide. And yet, that's what the left is promoting. That's what they want. You know why? Because they want power, folks. And they don't care how they get it. And I say it always reminds me of that quote from Paradise Lost, John Milton, where Satan is quoted as saying, it's a fictional book, but it's a depiction of Satan's attitude, where he says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And that's the attitude of these Democrats. Better to preside over chaos, better to preside over lawlessness, better to preside over absolute anarchy with me in charge than to live in a peaceful, prosperous, productive country where I'm not in power. Now, folks, that is their attitude. And when you understand that, it explains all of their behavior and everything that they, that all things that they do that you just kind of scratch your head and go, what in the world? What are they talking about? Well, what they're talking about is, how do I manipulate people to keep them in my camp and to keep them on the emotional edge, to keep them in a position where I can get out of them what I want and they will put me in power and keep me in power? That's what it's about. And it doesn't matter if they're destroyed in the process. It doesn't matter if the society is decimated in the process, as long as they come out on top. This takes harks us back to, remember the ICE agents were accused of treating these Haitians trying to come across the Rio Grande, whipping them like slaves. And come to find out, it was just as far from the truth as the heavens are above the earth. They were using their reins to control their horses. They weren't whipping anybody. But that lie went out far and wide. They're acting like slave masters. Well, let's see who. This guy who works for MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel, Glaude, said that the ICE agents were acting like slave catchers. Folks, this is their raison d'etre. This is how they operate. Facts don't matter. Truth doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what will get me into power and what will keep me there. And whatever they have to say, whatever they have to do. I mean, we've got ICE agents now under attack, and they want them to take off their masks because they want them to be attacked. I mean, I haven't heard a single Democrat. If you say, now, wait a minute, we may not agree with this, but these are our fellow citizens, and violence is not the answer, and we don't want any ICE agent interfered with violently or attacked or anything like that, because that's wrong. Have you heard anybody say that? No, because they don't think that. They don't believe that. I mean, just like at one point we had Maxine Waters and others saying, confront people in the restaurants, confront them in their homes, confront their children, knock on their doors, accost them in the streets. Remember that? Make them feel uncomfortable. I mean, they were going right up to the edge of sanctioning violence. without quite saying that, but that's exactly what they were getting at. Because that's what they're about. Project 76 Standathon, for the next 76 days, we're going to be focusing on prayer for purpose and prosperity in America and for our organization. Because we are determined to see this country survive and thrive. We want to restore America as God ordained it, a Judeo-Christian nation. We want to see marriage and family restored as God designed it, one man, one woman, in the bonds of holy matrimony, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want to restore unity as God commanded it, one nation under God. Folks, do you know, until the rise of the nation state, there's some ancient examples of it, like the Roman Empire and so forth. But until the rise of the nation state, which really didn't happen until, beginning in about the 1400s, you know, the world was governed by tribalism. Tribalism was governing this continent. The Native Americans were fighting with each other, warring with each other. And, you know, we stole the land. I mean, give me a break. I've looked at the history of that, and there were various tribal confederacies that were fighting each other over the land, over buffalo hunting, over which land was best for what farming the Native Americans were doing, because they were doing some farming. Fighting each other over horses. Once the Europeans arrived and brought horses, the Native Americans fought each other over horses, not because they wanted the horses because they were good work animals, but they wanted the horses because they were good animals for fighting from. So this notion that, you know, the continent was just a peaceful place, it was like the Garden of Eden, and then the white man came along. I mean, boy, that is just so stupid and so unbiblical. Because my Bible teaches me there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to come together as one nation under God. And I would just say, there are people I know who will hear that and go, you know, we don't need you religious right-wing crazies. But you know what I say? Go find a country that you like. Go find a communist country, a socialist country, a totalitarian country, a fascist country, whatever you want. Pick your poison. But just leave. Because you hate the country, why do you want to stay and destabilize it and see people hurt and fuss and fight with people all the time and accuse people of being Nazis and accuse people of being racist and accuse, I mean, why do you want to stay and do that? We're a Judeo-Christian nation, and if I have anything to say about it, and I'm sure if AFR has anything to say about it, we're going to remain a Judeo-Christian nation, rooted and grounded in Christian culture. If you'd like to help us during the Standathon period from July 4th to September 17th, go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us. I've asked people to make a commitment to give at least $1 a day over the next 76 days. Some people may go a little further and give 10, which would be $760. My wife and I have made a commitment higher than that because, of course, we believe in what we're doing, and we believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and that you reap what you sow. So we're going to go beyond that, and we're committing to $100 a day over the next 76 days. And we're not wealthy people, but we just believe in the power of giving, and we believe in not being hypocrites and asking others to do what we are not willing to do. So, but if you want to help us, pray for us, follow what we're doing. I have a podcast every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:30 Central for those of you in the Central Time Zone. And it's on my Facebook page. It's on Rumble. It's on our website, standamerica.us. It's on my YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. But you can catch it lots of different places. And even if you are not available to see it then, of course, it stays on Facebook or stays on whatever venue it's aired on. You can always go back later and check it out. But I'm going to be talking about this Project 76 Standathon over the next 76 days and highlighting some of the problems America faces and how we as an organization are trying to solve those problems and asking for your help. Now, here's the other thing that we need to at least touch on here. In spite of all the stuff that they're throwing at President Trump, He is continuing to succeed. And folks, I'll tell you just straight out, I can't speak to the spiritual state of President Trump because I just don't know him personally. I know people who know him who say that he is a born-again believer, certainly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see some signs of that, and then some people say, well, I don't know about that. But I can say this definitively. God's hand is on Donald Trump, and God is using him. I can say that definitively. I just, my spirit bears witness to that. I see it. And like I said, I mean, no, he's not perfect. Well, neither am I. And, you know, people examining our lives as individuals can always find something that would make them say, well, I'm not quite so sure about that E.W. Jackson guy. I mean, I was on Jenna's program this morning, had a caller call in and say, you know, I don't think you're being compassionate. I think you're being mean. And, you know, and I said, well, point out something. She was talking about the illegal aliens issue. And I said, well, point out something I've said that you believe bears those kinds of characteristics. And of course, I don't have anything. You know, of course, I don't have anything specific. I can't think of, but I feel, I said, oh, okay, now I got it. So basically, you have certain feelings about this issue. I'm not agreeing with you. So therefore, you call me and characterize me as mean and all that. Well, I have a good friend who's an illegal alien. You know, so I thought, well, we can't base our policy on you and your friend. Look, folks, you all know I don't hate anybody. I really don't. God's not going to be pleased with that. I don't have hatred in my heart for people because they're illegal aliens, but I have love for my country, love for the need, and love for the people of the United States, and therefore understand the need for our sovereignty, our safety, our security to be preserved by our government. And therefore, I support closing the borders and deporting people who are not here lawfully. Now, that's not mean to me. In fact, frankly, to me, it's compassion for the American people and common sense in my stewardship as an American citizen. The number is 888-589-8840. I'm standing in for Abraham Hamilton III, and I'll be taking your calls when we come back in a moment.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Earthquakes. Think of the devastation they've caused in this century alone. In Japan, Iran, Pakistan, China, Indonesia, Haiti. But know this, there is an earthquake coming that is without parallel, and it's not even the worst disaster ahead. You can face the future with confidence. John MacArthur helps you see that today on Grace to You.
Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
I want to start taking your calls this segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Just want to quickly run down some of the accomplishments of President Trump in spite of everything they've thrown at him. Now, the devil has tried to bankrupt him. He's been sued, tried to put him in prison. They've charged him, tried him as on some criminal basis, hoping to convict him of some kind of crime. The devil's tried to kill him, two assassination attempts, And we probably will never know the thousands of threats against his life. And yet, in spite of all of that, lies of the Russia collusion lie, and you name it. I mean, everything imaginable. I won't even give credence to some of this nonsense by repeating it. But in spite of all of that, the president continues to win. And I really believe this is the grace of God on this man's life. I really do believe that. I think that President Trump is a kind of genius. I say we called Reagan the great communicator. I think we should call Trump the great negotiator. But I really believe it's the grace of God on his life that has caused him to get stronger and stronger in spite of all the attacks on him. So this big, beautiful bill that he talked about, don't you love this? This guy can phrase stuff that's just, you know, he makes me chuckle every time I hear him. The one big, beautiful bill. Well, he got the one big, beautiful pass. It's the largest tax cut in history. Look, no tax on tips anymore. No tax on overtime. No tax on Social Security. A modernization program for our air traffic control system, something we should have done 40, 50 years ago and been updating all along. Increasing the child tax credit for more than 40 million families. Money to finish the border wall. Energy prices gone down as a result of domestic oil and production and gas production capacity that he is opening up. A tax deduction on Made in America auto loans. Wow. 2 million family farms being saved from punitive double taxation. Creating Trump accounts for every American newborn. I think every American newborn is going to get $5,000. He's addressing something, again, no politician has even talked about, which is the decline in births in our country. And look, they cut spending by $1.5 trillion. He's not really being given much credit for that. People have talked about there should have been more cuts. Okay, I agree. I'm always in favor of more cuts. But my goodness, that takes us in the right direction in eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicaid, because we know Medicaid is a boondoggle. I mean, no able-bodied person should be living off the dole. The Golden Dome missile defense system, something that Ronald Reagan was ridiculed for. Oh, you think you're going to create Star Wars? Well, anything that's going to benefit this country, anything that's going to help this country, these leftists, these Democrats seem to be against. Oh, and by the way, modernizing our military. I mean, I met Pete Hegseth a couple times. Don't know him well, but met him a couple times. Had a chance to talk to him when he was first nominated. I have to admit, I thought, man, he seems kind of young for that role. But you know what? I am exceedingly pleased with Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense. I think he is doing a tremendous job. Now, look, they said the tariffs would cause rampant inflation, and he'll have to answer for that. Not only are foreign goods declining in price, but so are domestic goods. Inflation is down to, I think, 1.4%. I mean, the lowest it's been in over 3 years. All the predictions of gloom and doom, Trump policies, he's destroying the country. And the country is, we may be on the cusp of the greatest economic boom we've ever seen. With all the money coming in from investments now coming from overseas, coming in from tariffs being collected that we weren't collecting before, even though these countries were collecting tariffs from us, with the energy incentives that he is now providing that allow us to get low-cost energy in our country and ending this boondoggle. I've been saying for years, he's the only other person I've heard say it, only other president I've heard say it, these windmills are a boondoggle. I mean, these great big old fiberglass plastic things dotting the horizon out in the ocean, just big old ugly machines that apparently the materials they're made of are not biodegradable. So there's nothing you can do with them when they're no good. 888-589-8840 is the number. Just wanted to get that out there since, as always, he is under vicious attack. But I really believe, not to mention, we may be on the cusp of a peace in Israel unlike anything we've ever seen. Now, we know that it won't last ultimately because we know what the Bible teaches. But nevertheless, he may be about to make some progress unlike anything we've seen in a president of the United States in negotiating with between Israel and all those prior enemies that used to surround Israel. I think it's a pretty good track record, folks. Let's go to the phones. We've got Mark in Ohio. Mark, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am blessed, sir. How are you?
Blessed by the best. Thank you for taking my call. I got the great pleasure of hearing you this morning, and and now I'm hearing you on my way home. how fun.
Well, thanks.
Not to kick a dead horse, so to speak, but I think that lady earlier this morning, she misjudged you, for one, I think, personally, but I don't know. I think where her heart was may have been more something along the lines of there are illegals here that have been trying to obey the law but haven't done the necessary step, right?
Sure.
So is there something that we could do in order to help those who have somewhat been helping themselves but not quite legally?
Mark, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for listening. As you know, there's an old saying that says, man, it felt so nice, I had to do it twice. So thank you for listening this morning and this afternoon. Look, I would say this, Mark. I wish we were in a better position to do that. But what has happened is we've become so overwhelmed by the vast numbers that have been brought in that we've got to deal with this in a very sweeping way. I wish the circumstance, as it is now under President Trump's administration, were such that you could actually manage the people who might be in really desperate circumstances. But when your border is flooded and people have just piled in from everywhere, from over 100 countries around the world, I think you've got to take pretty dramatic action. But look, I understand what you're saying. Again, this is not based on hatred of people. This is based on the policies that are best for our country. And look, I'm sure that there's an opportunity in some circumstances for compassion toward those who are really in need and have tried to do the right thing, even though they came across the border illegally. And by the way, that does not include citizenship from my perspective. You don't reward people for illegality, but it might include some kind of compassionate allowance of their staying in our country. But I'll tell you what, that number of people has got to be very, very, very small so that you don't, again, send the signal across the border, well, no matter what we say, just get across and we'll let you stay. And that's what bothers me. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gary in Florida, I believe that is. Gary, welcome.
Yes. I, too, listened to you this morning, and I think one other time today, this week, you were on for Pastor Shreve.
Well, no, I did the program, the Genesis program twice. Well, that's right. I don't know what it was last week I was on for Jeff, but yes. You'll hear me substituting from time to time.
Yeah, I've been listening. And, well, I've been keeping up with the American Family Association since Brother Don did the stuff in his kitchen and sent it, and I passed it out, made copies, and
passed it out
to the church.
Thank you, brother. So, thank you.
I think you handled that woman this morning very well. I think what you got, I respect you very well.
Thank you, Gary.
Remember, all these people, that woman this morning was talking about her friend that had been there 10 years. Well, that means she'd been an illegal 10 years, right?
And you know what, Gary? Somebody has been waiting in line for 10 years to get the privilege that person took. So, hey, Gary, thank you for the call. I'm running short on time. Let me get some others in. But thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Cheryl in Texas. Cheryl, welcome.
Hello. How in the world are you?
I am blessed. How are you, Cheryl?
Me too, because I got to hear you twice today, too.
Three calls in a row.
Everybody listened twice today to you. I told the person picking up the phone, I said, is he back? Is he back? They need to make a slot for him. And I voted for you, by the way, in the primaries.
Thank you.
But I love you, man, and I just wanted to say thank you for all you do, everybody at AFR. And I totally agree with, you know, Mark especially. You know, he said some really good things. So I was like, well, he took my words. But I know it's getting close to the 6 o'clock hour, and you want to get out of there. So
well,
I just wanted to say thank you so much. You're a blessing to all of us. And I just love that you you're spot on, and you are kind. You're a good human being, and you're kind with your words when you do have to tell someone to point it out to you so you can make sure that you fix it.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Yeah, well, you know, look, and it comes with the territory. You can't take a strong principle stand and not have people disagree with you, and that's happened throughout my career. But again, we don't operate out of hatred for people. We operate out of love, and you hope that you can persuade people. So I had a good interaction. I think it was Ann this morning, but let's go to Phil in Kansas, I believe. Phil, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the show when you're on there.
Thank you.
Just a thought on the deficit. I'm glad they saved some money, but if we keep spending more than we take in, it's going to be really hard to catch up. And I know there are a lot of things that were good that were in there, I'm sure. And but somehow it's going to take a whole lot more than what was done. But just a thought.
Yeah, Phil, I agree with you. And I think it's going to take a combination of some very serious cuts and a lot of good growth. I think we're going to as much grow our way out of this as we're going to save our way out of this. So I couldn't agree with you more. That's why I said, I mean, I would have loved it if we could have more cuts in that bill. But I'll take that and hope that we'll build on that. Thank you for the call, Phil. Let's go to Jason in Tennessee, I think. Jason, welcome.
Yes, Bishop, first-time listener, fantastic. You're up against the top of the hour. Real quickly, what President Trump has done, we know the Big Beautiful Bill is imperfect, but
right. It's
imperfect because President Trump knew that if he wrote an omnibus bill that was based entirely on his ideology and all of his and our wants, it would have never passed. And the beauty of what he has learned to do is play the game after 4 years of Biden. President Trump has returned. It's like, you remember that when you were a kid, the first time you played Monopoly, and then you came back as a seasoned pro years later, and you could, you know, you could corner the board. That's what he's done, and that's why his opponents are so angry. He understands the structural function of federal government much more than he did in 2017.
That's exactly right.
When he first took office. He has
that's
become
exactly
the
right.
finest competitor that we could have against liberalism that is absolutely functionally destroying our cities. We see it every day. But as a first-time listener, I just want to tell you that I genuinely enjoy what you are doing, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Jason. Wow, I wish I could get to you, Tim and Jerry, but it looks like I'm being told that I am out of time. I call him the great negotiator. Because I think you're right. He's negotiated in business in the past, but he has really mastered the art of governing now. And I think his second term, that even that time off, I think has proved to be a blessing in disguise. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.